reading from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. A great and interesting passage, and let me also read from Ephesians 2:10. These are words of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Lots to say about these passages, as today and tomorrow you're going to hear from a special guest, Tim Hare. He lives locally, married to Tony, has three daughters, attends the Vineyard Church, is an outstanding entrepreneur with a God-honoring story and testimony. And you're going to hear about that in just a minute. Wow, everyone, welcome to April 1st, 2013. Are you experiencing post-resurrection blues today? I sure hope not, because he has risen. Let me hear it. Yes, he has risen indeed. We serve a Savior who is very much alive, very much active, and desires to work in and through us. What a privilege we get to worship Him, to know Him, to speak to Him, to hear His voice, to follow and serve kingdom purposes. Come on, everybody. It's April 1st. Let's start off this month right with the right mindset, availing ourselves to God's plan and purpose. You know He loves you. He's proven it over and over again. And may this truth resonate in your heart all day long, all week long, all month long, right up until the point when you enter into eternity with Him. Oh, I could kind of get on a roll. But before I introduce today and tomorrow's special guest, wow, are you like me today, need to run about 20 miles to work off all the calories from yesterday's Easter meals? Mine began early with a Super Bowl of breakfast at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. They don't hold back. They had everything laid out on tables, from pancakes to biscuits and gravy to cheesy scrambled eggs, sausage patties, fruits and more biscuits and gravy, a variety of juices and beverages, and oh, I'm telling you, if I didn't show great restraint, I would have never made it through the day, because I was looking forward to the Easter dinner meal at the Miller's, and so I actually showed some moderation in my portion control in the morning. But once at the Miller's, oh, turkey and ham and those mashed potatoes with the cream cheese. Oh, Nancy, they're out of this world. Whole kernel corn, asparagus, and all the fixings. It was just a wonderful time with friends. And Beamer did me proud. He was on his best behavior, did all my doggy tricks, entertained and bonded with little 18-month-old Anna, and just did me proud. Well, this past weekend, I spent a little time previewing a 30-minute talk that Tim Hare gave to our Pinnacle group about 6 or 7 weeks ago at our monthly gathering at the Champaign Country Club. And I got to tell you, what a blessing to rehear Tim's remarks and testimony. I heard him live, and the unique thing that he did as he stood in front of the group is he pulled out his iPhone, hit record, and then just presented his material and shared his topics with everyone. And so afterwards, I said, hey, Tim, could you email me that recording? And he did. And so I re-listened to it this weekend and felt like I could break it into two programs. And I just know you're going to be blessed by his testimony and his sharing. Have you ever wondered why you are here? What your life vision and purpose is? Well, I believe as you listen to some of Tim's remarks, comments, and how God worked in and through his life, through the counsel and support of his wife, Toni, I believe there'll be something for you to learn through his sharing, and that this just might be that divine appointment today and tomorrow for you to hear God's voice through what Tim has to share. Tim Hare entitled his talk, God Flavors and God Colors, My Unexpected Journey of Entrepreneurship and Faith. He broke it down into four kind of chapters of his life, roots, reimagining, risk-taking, and renewal. Tim Hare is a seasoned business executive with 30 years of experience spanning a variety of industries. He presently serves a number of high-tech startup companies, including Cironics, Cibana Labs, Phi Optics, Diagnostic Photonics, and Snapshot Energy. He previously served as a co-founder and chief executive officer of Visite, a rapidly growing bioscience technology firm located in the University of Illinois Research Park, Champaign, Illinois. Visite was acquired by Sony Corporation in late 2009. In February 2009, Tim received the Entrepreneurial Excellence in Management Award at the Innovative Celebration Ceremony sponsored by the University of Illinois and Champaign County Economic Development Corporation. Tim Hare is the CEO of Sierra Ventures, partner at Sierra Capital, managing member at the Best Sandwich I Ever Had. Hey, Tim, send a few of those over this way. Advisory board member at Baylor University for Technology Entrepreneurship, CEO at Cibana Labs, Inc., and I'm telling you, just a very busy beaver. But I'll also say a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ who desires to take his marching orders from God. And I believe by today and tomorrow's broadcast, you're going to be able to personally apply some of the truths and the ways Tim learned to allow God to work in and through his situation into your lives too. At least that's my prayer for you as you listen in today and tomorrow. So here's Tim Hare as recorded on his iPhone before the Pinnacle Group back in February.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Love coming out and sharing a few pieces of the story. My daughter, Alyssa, put together the visual presentation. I put together the audio portion. It's been a great partnership working with her over the last 3 years. And it's entitled God Flavors and God Colors, My Unexpected Journey of Entrepreneurship and Faith. Tim talked about one of his life verses this morning. This is one of my life verses, Matthew 5, 13 and 14, as translated in the Message. One of my favorite versions of the Bible. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. When I look at that verse, it gets my attention. Any verse that starts out with, let me tell you why you're here, that's a verse I want to pay attention to. Because a lot of us are asking that question, you know, why are we here? So I'll share how this verse has sort of had practical impact on my life, all the way back really to the beginning. I'm going to kind of share it in four chapters: roots, reimagining, risk-taking, and then renewal. So I'm not going to go all the way back to the beginning, but I'm going to start in chapter one, roots, talking a little bit about joining Dad in the work that he's doing. So I grew up in a family business, the Hare Nursery business over in Peoria, Illinois, landscape, garden center, sod, and so forth. And one of my favorite and probably earliest memories is joining Dad in the work he was doing. Specifically, we would often have dinner, put me in sort of the 6 to 7, 8-year-old category at this point in time. And what we would do after dinner is Dad would go out to a landscape job that was currently in progress, or a new one where he was going to be figuring work, quote unquote. I remember that phrase. And we'd hop into Hare Nursery pickup number 6, the old green pickup truck. And I remember that was it sort of smelled right and felt right. It was a place of safety and security, and probably most importantly for me, just a place of being with Dad, being with my brothers. And we'd go out to the job, and I could very quickly tell my dad had a mental checklist, right, that he was running through. He was checking sprinklers. He was seeing if the trees were planted right. He was seeing if the sidewalk had been swept up properly by the crew that day. He was kind of ticking through things on his list. So you might say my very first impressions of what it meant to be an entrepreneur and to be in business were from my dad. In fact, my entrepreneurial DNA was really all tied up in what Dad was doing. My dad was the consummate entrepreneur. He loved work. He loved people. He loved delivering landscape solutions, as he called it, to difficult problems. I liked delivering landscape solutions when I became older. There was a certain tidiness to, doing a landscape job and then stepping back from it at the end of 2 or 3 days and seeing the beauty that you'd created. I have since found out that most of life is not that tidy in terms of solving problems. There are often problems that extend over multiple weeks or months or sometimes even years. But my dad was my original hero in that regard, and he was also a man of faith. He was a lay pastor in the church that I grew up in, and so he juggled a more than full-time commitment to his business and managing about 130 people in that business, and yet also playing the role of a lay pastor. So for me, entrepreneurship and faith, this was not an abstract concept. This was a very real thing that I lived with week in and week out. So my earliest memory, joining Dad in the work that he was doing. Encountering God on the patio. So fast forward just a little bit to fifth grade. It's a summer day, and I'm sitting out in the patio swing, on feeling the summer breeze. Back up a little bit from that the church that I grew up in embraced a concept called the age of accountability. And what that meant is that you really couldn't embrace relationship with the Lord until you got to sort of a certain point of demarcation, you know, of, I guess, fully understanding good and bad and all that sort of stuff. So according to the church, that time was at some point in your teens, right? And so I'm in fifth grade, 10 or 11 years old, and so I'm not at the age of accountability, right? So I'm sort of kept back from a relationship with the Lord, apparently. But I'm on the patio, and God sort of decides to sovereignly show up. So he wasn't aware of this rule, apparently. So I'm sitting on the swing, and I have this sense of, I would now call it was the Holy Spirit just coming on me in power and joy and peace and an overwhelming sense that he was there and he was calling me. It was almost as if he was saying my name. And I didn't know what to do with that, because, you know, I wasn't at the age of accountability. I didn't know how to process that. It was powerful. It was real. It was authentic. And I knew from that point on I was called. Now, I figured that meant I would be a pastor like my dad, right? Or I would be a missionary, because that was really the definition of, I understood what, you know, what limited understanding I had of being called meant. We'll find out in later chapters here that was not necessarily the case. Fast forward a little bit to junior in high school, right? So at that same point in time, back on the patio, fifth grade, is about when I started working in the family business. So in fifth grade, I started working pretty much full-time summers all the way through college, actually. Worked every aspect of the business, the garden center, customer service, worked out on the landscape crew, out in the sod field, you know, taking sod balls off of the sod harvester and stacking them on a pallet. That was always a lot of fun. Weed pulling, cleaning the fertilizer warehouse. As Dick Nelson, the manager of the garden center, used to say, "Tim, you got to take the bitter with the sweet." There was a lot more bitter, in my opinion, along the way. And somehow, you know, as this now junior in high school making a decision about college, I'm thinking, I'm not so sure about this nursery thing. So I sat down with my dad, and we talked about college. And I said, "Dad, I have really no idea what I want to do." He said, "Well, I think you have three choices." Wow, you know, I was gratified he had the answer. My dad was a fairly black and white guy. He said, "Well, the first choice is horticulture." I said, "Horticulture, that sounds kind of like the garden center and plants." And I said, "What's choice number two?" "Choice number two is landscape architecture." That sounds a lot like choice number one. "Choice number three, accounting." I said, okay, accounting. Well, what's up with accounting? "Well, I figure you could go out and get an accounting degree. It's they call it the language of business, and you could go out and work for an accounting firm for a couple of years and come back and run the business side of things." I said, "Well, that sounds like the choice for me, accounting." One of my favorite parts of being at the garden center was, after a very busy Saturday, going back into the accounting office and all those stacks of green bills and adding them up and reconciling them to the cash register reports. I did indeed enjoy that. So accounting it was, and then where was the other decision. And for me, it had come down to either being a Fighting Illini or a Redbird. I chose the safe choice. I wanted to be a little closer to home. Wasn't quite sure about coming all the way down to Champaign from Peoria. So I picked the safe choice. At that point, you could say I was a risk-averse person. All right, so chapter 2, reimagining. All right, so I kind of grown up in this fairly black and white environment, a very authentic environment of faith. But it was sort of, you know, one way to do life, and again, a very authentic way to do life. And yet, things started to become to a point where I was reimagining what faith and entrepreneurship might look like. And the first of the stories in this little subsection is called Right Where I Am. So I did go on to get the accounting degree from Illinois State, took the CPA exam, took the CMA exam, and passed both of those. I actually was interning for the now defunct but then world-leading Arthur Andersen in Chicago. And it was a heady experience, right? You know, they have business cards printed for you the day that you walk in. They take you to Blackhawks games. You're going to fancy dinners down in the Loop. And the choice is obvious, right? So I have a job offer in Peoria to go back to firm there. I have a job offer here in Champaign with McGladrey. And I have Arthur Andersen, all right? So there's no competition here. It's Arthur Andersen. Except one small thing. The Holy Spirit kept harassing me over about a two-month period of time. He would not let me go. And he said, Champaign, that's where you're going. I had really come to the point, I'd made the decision to move to Chicago. And the Holy Spirit was relentless. My brother-in-law was as well. He was the pastor of a church here. He had set me up with an interview with a gentleman, Ron Bates. And so Happy and Ron were conspiring in the background with, apparently, the Lord. And so I ended up here in Champaign. I lasted about 6 months as an auditor. They invited me out of the audit division into a newly emerging division called the Management Consulting Division at McGladrey. This was 1983. And so from really 1983 to 1989, I mean, it was a thrill. I loved what I was doing. I loved the public accounting environment, my colleagues. It was a stimulating environment. And yet, I always sort of had that sense of at some point, imminently, I'm going to now step over the transom, right? I'm going to step into my calling and become a missionary or become a pastor. I was kind of waiting for it. So 1989, the small group leader retreat for the Vineyard, which is where I went at the time and still do go, we did an annual small group leader retreat at, and this one was at Turkey Run State Park. Two nights before the retreat, I have this dream. It's a very vivid dream, and I wake up convinced it is from God, but I have no idea what it means. And in the dream, I'm in Lambert Field Airport. Remember those of you that used to fly TWA, right, back in the day. And I'm in Terminal D, I think it's Gate D25, and I'm attempting in the dream to get to St. Louis. But I am in St. Louis. D25 has a sign for the city where I'm going, and it's Cincinnati. All right, so I'm in the line to go to Cincinnati, but I have this real sense that I'm trying to get to St. Louis, but I'm looking around and I am in St. Louis. All right, so this is the dream I have. I wake up and I'm convinced this is not bad pizza from the night before. This is God. So I tell my sister, Diane, a co-pastor over at the Vineyard, the dream when I arrive at the small group leader retreat. She says, you know, I'm going to pray about that. I don't really know exactly what that means, but the next morning at the retreat, so this is now Saturday morning, she says, I think I do have an interpretation of this dream for you. She said, you're thinking that you are called to something. She said, you are already where you are supposed to be. You are in a saintly place, a la St. Louis. She said, now, to go somewhere else would be sin, Cincinnati. So you shouldn't be attempting to go somewhere else. You are already where you're supposed to be. And it sort of instantly dawned on me, the business world, and in particular at that point in time, the public accounting and the firm of McGladrey, was where I was supposed to be. The rest of that weekend, it was the strangest thing. Two, three different interactions, one with Hank Sanford, the youth pastor, one with my brother, Ben, none of whom had, I didn't tell the dream to anybody else, but all of them confirming I was supposed to be right where I was, called right where I was. Okay, interesting notion. That gave me just phenomenal energy, right? That's 1989. Later that year, I was promoted to senior manager, which is kind of the final step before you are made partner in the firm. then the next two or three years just were full of vision and energy because of, you know, just understanding and grabbing hold of the fact that this is where I was called to be, to make an impact. In 1992, then I was ultimately made partner in the firm. So this is where it, you know, all sort of crystallized and solidified for me being in the business arena. Well, what about being out of my comfort zone? So in 1992, I've just been made partner in McGladrey. And I go on a missions trip to Czechoslovakia. It was one country at that point in time. It, about 6 months later, became two countries, the Czech Republic and Slovakia. Went on this mission trip. And by about day seven, I'm feeling completely discombobulated, right? The toilet paper's wrong, the street signage, you can't understand it. And, you know, the Czechoslovakia was emerging out of communism. So it was almost like, you know, a third world country in ways, even though we were, you know, spending a lot of our time in Prague, which was a, you know, very rich and developed city for their standards. But I felt sort of completely sort of undone and kind of the wires unplugged. And that made me reflect on a lot of stuff that was happening in my life. Yes, I was made partner in the firm, but there were a lot of other life roles where I just wasn't being terribly effective. And I was getting in touch with that while I was in this strange environment. So I sat down.
Well, I'm going to jump in right here. Much more to the story. Thank you, God, for Tim's testimony. As recorded on his iPhone about 6 or 7 weeks ago during a Pinnacle Forum monthly gathering. This testimony is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Also, if you stop by the website, greatnewsradio.org, you'll see a photograph of Tim, who I also posted at the Great News Radio on my personal Facebook page, so you can find out a little more. But how about the great modeling of his father, hearing God's calling at an early age, learning to serve where he was planted, if you will, developing and learning about life vision and life purpose, stepping out of his comfort zone, seeking advice from his spouse, family, and friends, seeking God through prayer and confirmation. So many great points of application. So I trust you'll join me again at this time tomorrow for part two of Tim Hare's story. Closing out with the verse I began with from Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listening friend, God desires to work in and through you today, right where you're at. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.